News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
All right, here we go. Hour number three of Mobile Mornings here on FM Talk 106.5. We've got a lot to get to this hour, including Rob Hobert with Lanyap in the second half of the hour. Before that, we'll turn up your voice, 251-343-0106. This segment of the show brought to you by the local personal injury law firm, Tobias and Comer Law. They are very experienced in serving Mobile and the surrounding areas, and they're just great people on top of that. Desi Tobias, Brian Comer, Lacey Smith, and they have compassion and a track record of success for making things right for their clients. They work each client's case personally from start to finish, so they don't hand your case over to another lawyer at some other law firm that you don't know. And they have handled hundreds of personal injury cases, and personal injuries, of course, can occur virtually anywhere, whether it's defective products, dangerous surroundings, trucking and car accidents, alcohol or drug-related injuries, something we see around here more than other places, maritime injuries, also workplace accidents or other negligence. They cover all of those, and it's worth giving them a call. If you have something on your mind, free consultation 24/7 at 251-230-8031. It's TobiasComerLaw.com, and if you want to find them in person, they've been in the offices there at 1203 Dauphin Street, a historic home there. They've been there for quite some time. So check them out online or on the phone, TobiasComerLaw.com.
All right, first up this hour, they're still in lockdown in not just Lewiston, Maine, but towns near Lewiston as well. After that gunman last night at a bowling alley and at a bar, I believe, shot and killed 22 innocent victims. That's just an insane act, an insane number. Got my attention this morning on the way in that that's what had happened in Lewiston, Maine last night. Not a town of much note, really. I think there was a big heavyweight fight there years ago between Cassius Clay at the time and Sonny Liston. I think
really?
I think that was in Lewiston, Maine. But can you imagine this situation up there right now? If you're a resident of Lewiston or a town near there, you're basically a prisoner of your own home. And you're locked in, locked down. No one's going anywhere. Hmm. Nothing's open. No one's going to work. No one's going to school. I'm quite sure.
Wow. Yeah. And that's when it would pay to have your own, you know, firearm on your person to feel a little bit safer. But, you know, these happen relatively often, shootings like this. And every time the same thing kind of happens, especially now with what's going in the Middle East, first thing you wonder is, you know, how did it happen? Why did it happen? And then the question, of course, is going to come up, and did last night as I was following along with this online, you know, does this have something to do with what's going on in the Middle East right now? Is this possibly, you know, some Islamic jihad and happening in Maine? You know, I don't know how many refugees they've taken in. But then they said who the suspect is, and it's a 40-year-old man by the name of Robert Card. And since then, they've been digging up more information. Now, he's still on the loose, right?
Like exactly.
You said, he's still,
I mean,
there's a manhunt going on.
I mean, police could be, I mean, you talk about manhunt of this guy who's armed, obviously dangerous. If you're a police officer right now, what's going through your mind trying to find this guy, having a pretty good idea that he's going to see you before you see him?
Well, yeah, and hopefully they're ready to do their job.
Yeah.
And they're doing their best right now. They say that Card is a he's been identified as a trained firearms instructor and spent 2 weeks in a mental health facility over the summer. Mm. He's also believed to be an Army reservist stationed out of one of those bases in Maine. According to Daily Mail, Card grappled with mental health issues, recently reporting hearing voices and threatening to shoot up the military training base. And so over the summer, he was committed to a mental health facility for 2 weeks. They looked up his background, his criminal background, and suggested that in 2007, he was charged with a misdemeanor offense of DUI. He pled guilty to that, and he was forced to pay a fine. I'm not seeing any other marks on his criminal record, but with the threat to shoot up the military base, if that actually happened, that's a big clue right there. And, yeah, so we're still, I mean, first off, trying to find this guy, and secondly, trying to figure out what and why this happened, or I should say how and why this happened. Now, 22 murdered is the latest number. Most media is going with at least 60 injured. I saw last night they're thinking at least 80 injured, but I haven't seen that in any of the official media here.
And not just one place, but two. So think about this. This guy, his mind, he goes off the edge, okay? He goes over the edge and he commits a crime in one place. Hideous, heinous crime in one place. I think that was the bowling alley. And somehow that doesn't satisfy him. He's got to drive maybe a mile or so to a bar, restaurant, and just burst in there and do it all over again.
Yeah.
It's like, my gosh.
And, you know, was it a slow response? I don't know, but this isn't a state. I mean, forget the little towns. Maine doesn't see very many homicides. No. What was it, 29 they had last year?
29 in the whole state last year. So it was 22 from last night in Lewiston.
I have trouble believing that in many other states, including our own, that someone could go into a bowling alley and shoot it up and law enforcement wouldn't be on the scene within minutes, mm-hmm. once they hear reports of that. But for him to be able to do that and then go into a separate location. They also said authorities in surrounding towns and also as from far as away as New Hampshire were called in to provide mutual aid. And they had dozens of residents searching for missing loved ones, trying to get answers outside of Central Maine Medical Center. Awful news from Maine last night.
This is a insane story as well. It's got to do with what we're seeing on college campuses right mm-hmm, now with mm-hmm. pro-Palestine protests, I guess you would call them. So you got these, trying to make sure that all the facts are correct.
Is this the Cooper Union story?
Cooper Union, yeah. So you've got these Jewish students at a New York City college locked inside a school library. Pro-Palestinian rally was outside the building. They got into the library, and I guess they locked the doors when the mob came in. Mob now was into the building.
Yeah, they realized that these Jewish students were in the library.
And they started pounding on the glass.
Yeah.
It's a pitiful picture you could see at foxnews.com. So these kids are probably frightened out of their minds. You've got a mob of people, again, that were outside protesting on behalf of Palestine, realized that the Jewish kids have gone inside to the library, and they all go in. I mean, what's the sense of this? And there's reports that the police are didn't respond. We talk about response.
Yeah.
Did not want to get involved in it.
What?
I mean, are you kidding me?
I didn't see that. Now, the way I understood it last night, and this was all as it was going down there at Cooper Union, was that there was like school security, or I don't know if they have their own, you know, USA has its own police force.
Right.
Most colleges don't, but that school security didn't feel like they had enough numbers to protect the students and that they were the ones who locked them in to keep them safe. That's at least what the story was last night. But New York Mayor Eric Adams finally tweeted last night. He said the NYPD was present on scene and coordinating with school security during the entire event, ensuring no one was injured. So it sounds like, and maybe they didn't want to get involved, I don't know, but it sounds like school security didn't feel like they could protect them from the pro-Palestine group, lock them in until they could get NYPD on the scene. Yeah, and in addition to that, and, you know, we talked about this some with Quinn at the beginning of the week, all of these, it's not just happening on college campuses, but these pro-Palestine protests, which, you know, in many of those, they're saying death to America, just like you'll see in Iran, but and they're in America. But they are certainly happening more and more on college campuses. And there was some ridiculous poll that came out that I think, and I'm not going to get the numbers exactly right, but a majority of people under the age of 34, I want to say, or at least a very, very large number, are basically anti-Israel as far as this conflict goes between Israel and Hamas in Gaza. Now, they won't come out and say they're pro-Hamas, and they don't even use Hamas, the word. They say Palestine liberators.
Mm-hmm.
There is like a growing number of people my age and younger who are on the other side of this issue from what most Americans have been for decades. But then you have Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, who, of course, is running for president. He continues to take shots here and there at the leading candidate for the Republican primary, Donald Trump. But in the meantime, he's been doing his job as governor. And let me know what you think about this. So DeSantis, his administration, they have ordered state universities to ban a pro-Palestinian student organization from their campuses. They say it illegally backs Hamas militants who attacked Israel earlier this month. And they mention in this story that some college students across the nation have expressed solidarity with Palestinians. Florida has gone further, saying Students for Justice in Palestine is supporting a, quote, terrorist organization. So the particular group, Students for Justice in Palestine, State University System Chancellor Ray Rodriguez wrote on Tuesday to university presidents at DeSantis's urging, directing them to disband chapters of SJP. He quoted the national group's declaration that, quote, Palestinian students in exile are part of this movement, not in solidarity with this movement. Rodriguez says it is a felony under Florida law to, quote, knowingly provide material support to a designated foreign terrorist organization. So they're trying to shut some of this down in Florida. And I've seen even people on the right who don't necessarily think this is a good move from DeSantis, that, of course, you've seen politicians and university leaders on the left do their best and have shut down organizations that they feel are extremist right, that they say are of the, you know, right wing extremists. So it is kind of fighting fire with fire, but a lot of folks are saying, hey, you're just shutting down free speech. You're just on the other side, and that this could come back. And what's next? Another conservative group in a liberal state gets banned. I don't know.
Shut down. Well, and you know, and we've also seen the threat of violence. I guess you know it's they're kind of a these groups can be rather menacing. That's how they're trying to project themselves. Like, hey,
yeah,
we're not just here. We're not. And it reminds me a little bit about the when the athlete's been on out in California and speaking out against transgender athletes competing against women.
Mm-hmm.
And the just absolute hate.
Yeah.
What's that young swimmer from Kentucky?
Riley Gaines.
Yeah. Well, the absolute hate and the fear that she feels. She had to be locked into a side room for a while because instead of taking care of the thugs, and they seem to, depending on what you're protesting about, that has a lot to do with whether you're going to get the wrath of the university or protection. Right? Have you noticed that?
Yeah, for sure. And it happened with Eventbrite. You know, the Eventbrite, which is kind of like I wouldn't say crowdsourced, but if you're holding an event, you put tickets up on Eventbrite. You don't put them up on Ticketmaster unless you're like an official, like Sanger or whatever.
Yeah.
But Eventbrite, so Riley Gaines had some event like she's been doing. She was going to go speak at a library on a college campus, or maybe it wasn't even a college campus. And Eventbrite did not allow them to use
the sale
Eventbrite services. Yeah, and it wasn't even a sale. I think it was just to RSVP. And they said it was because of the threat of violence or that something could happen. And at the same time, Eventbrite was allowing a different event to go on, which was basically this LGBTQ for Palestine, where outright in the announcement, they're saying, like, basically, more or less, we hate Israel, and we're here to show our disdain. And
so I drew that line together not even knowing that story. That's amazing.
Yeah, that's happening
this
week.
That shows it right there.
Yeah, there's a complete double standard. And a lot of people are showing their true colors. You know, you saw with this big House Speaker fight this week, a lot of true colors were shown.
Mm-hmm.
You're seeing it with the Israel situation also. And turns out a lot of the younger generation are anti-Israel.
Amazing. 820, Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5. You know, you've heard people say, you know, it's better that you see the hate rather than it hide itself somewhere. You look at a guy and he does something, you're thinking, is that guy like a racist or what? You think, well, it's better that he just outs himself as a racist. I don't know. When you see it flush out,
yeah,
not very pleasant, is it?
No, and you combine those two things we were just talking about in that last segment, along with many, many other instances, including, the day-to-day crime in big cities and even here that, we report everything we see around here. And Mobile police generally, they really don't hide anything as far as any thing that comes up involving them, especially when there's a death or a murder. But the shooting in Maine, these mass protests, again, going on around the country, especially on college campuses, what's going on in the Middle East, Russia, Ukraine, what might happen with China. We are in for a heck of a at least half decade, maybe the next decade. And it's not going to be volatile just, you know, offshore. It's not going to be volatile around the rest of the world only. It's right here in our own backyard.
Well, you can have a political, you can have a historical political discussion about Palestine, Israel, two states. Does it work?
What's the right solution?
But yeah, when you are afforded the ability to just out and out show hate, that's different.
Yeah,
I mean that's just different. I mean, if you are so riled up, and somehow you've dismissed the killing of women and children and all the hostage taking, or you have not dismissed it so much as you have...
Well, they're acting like it was their right to do that.
Right. And so it's like, oh, my goodness, sometimes being anti-Semitic or racist, maybe it does belong undercover because it's a terrible thing to witness.
It sure is. Let's check out the text line at 251-343-0106. We've got one texter who says, Governor Ivey is going to be in Mobile today, speaking at the Downtown Mobile Rotary Club. All right, welcome, Governor Ivey. She's been down here a lot these last few weeks.
I think she'll swing by and chat with Sean on the midday show.
That would be nice. Yeah, yeah, maybe she'll head to the grounds.
I'm not saying it's not going to happen.
No.
She'll head out to the grounds. That'd be a place for the governor to go.
I think she needs to go ahead and, if she doesn't already, get a place down here. She's been in Mobile and Baldwin County so often these last couple months.
She loves us.
Why waste the fuel money?
She loves the citizens of Mobile.
Yeah, it's like she's trying to get away from Montgomery. Jerry in Fort Morgan says... trust in God and keep your powder dry, my friend. King of all unnamed texters texts in. Wow, the youth are anti-Semitic. So much for that kind of hate being gone in America.
Right.
Yeah, did you see even some of the pro-Palestine supporters on a college campus were using like old Nazi propaganda to show their distaste for Israel?
Yes.
Using like the exact same signs that were being used back pre-World War II.
Yeah.
Buck says, the LGBT community supporting Palestine is ridiculous. Islam does not support homosexuality in any form. Death is the punishment for such acts. This isn't hearsay. I've spent more than 7 years of my life in the Middle East. It's fact. Yeah, we've been talking about that the whole way through. These are religious fundamentalists.
Zealots.
They are, you know, they get upset when you let women drive.
Mm-hmm.
Much less a guy acting like a woman or vice versa. It's, I don't know if they even know who they're supporting. Grant says kind of the same thing. Ha, ha, ha. LGBTQ for Palestine. Maybe they didn't get the memo on how they treat and think of gay people. Unbelievable stupidity. And another texter here, Palestine thought they would benefit from Hamas moving in. It would give them some military might against Israel. Now they've kicked the sleeping dog, and he is vicious. Yeah, I think, was it 05? Like, pretty much, I might be wrong on my dates, but when they held their first elections, Hamas got elected. And since then, you've seen this
exactly
back and forth.
Right. Yeah. Exactly right. Oh, man. Mm-mm. It's 8:30 FM Talk 106.5. We'll get local, talk about what's going on Lanyap, on the pages of Lanyap. We'll talk with Rob Holford straight ahead on Mobile Mornings. Talk 106.5 at 8:35. Mobile Mornings, the Ascension Technologies text line. If you want to join the conversation that way, you can. 251-343-0106.
It is a Thursday. That means it's time to talk with Rob Holbert from Lanyap and lanyapmobile.com. Good morning, Rob.
Hey, guys. How are y'all this morning?
Doing just fine.
We're doing great.
Considering.
But before we get to the latest issue of Lanyap, I have a on-the-spot question for you here.
Put me on the spot on live radio. I like that.
I think it's great. Yeah. And, you know, this could get you in trouble, this question. But
that sounds great.
A talent show tomorrow at Murphy High School, and they've got, I think, 45 different kids doing acts from 1st through 12th grade. And that brought up the conversation between me and Dan this morning. Were you in a talent show, and what was your talent? And we've got that up on our Facebook page also. I can't remember. The closest I think I came to being in a talent show, and maybe it was, I don't know, but I remember being in second grade, and I sang a song from the Hercules cartoon movie. I'm sure it was awful. I didn't get a standing ovation or anything like that from the
parents stood up and cheered, right?
I would hope so. But Dan, you said you hadn't been in a talent show, right?
No, I was in some fashion show. I was pulled into this by my mother when I'm. This is no lie, Rob. I was five years old.
Show?
It wasn't as weird as you think. But anyway,
what were you like at same high school or something like
no,
that?
No, I was 5 years old, and there was a snowstorm that day, and I was like saying, "This is great. There's no way this is going to get canceled." Every time I walk, whatever, you know, if I change my jacket, I forget it. It was such a terrible memory. Every time I walked out on stage, the entire audience roared in laughter. So what face I was wearing when I walked out there, I have no idea. But whatever they saw, they thought it was funny as hell.
Yeah.
And it was a five-year-old kid wearing an outfit he would never wear in real life.
So, Rob.
Thanks, Mom.
Rob, I know you have some musical talent.
I was talentless at that point in my life. I had no talent whatsoever. I mean, the closest I ever came to doing anything was, I think, in kindergarten, I played the son in a play.
Oh, yeah.
Because I had the deepest voice, apparently. I don't know.
You
know?
Maybe the brightest smile?
Probably just adenoidal. I don't know. I don't know why. That was it. I was terrified of getting up in public at that point in life. It's strange how things go.
Yeah, three talentless guys here talking on the radio. Then. No talent show appearances.
No talent show for me. I remember my son did one where he and a buddy dressed up like Kiss, like two members of Kiss, and they sang. He just mimed, "I want to rock and roll all night."
That's awesome.
That went over great. I mean, people loved it, so they were pretty fired up about that.
That's great.
That's the closest we've come to talent.
Too good. So latest issue of Lanyap on stands now and has been online. And cover story this week is Mobile County Schools and talking about bringing back the paddle.
Yeah. I don't know how serious an effort this is or not. It's sort of like, in this day and age, really seriously, are we really talking about this? Is this even a possibility? I know there's a bunch of people out there who are like, yes, that's what we need to do. I can tell you, like, personally, I wouldn't let them whip my kid with a board. I wouldn't do it. I mean, if my kids were acting that way, I would be like, call me, I'll take care of it. But, you know, it's kind of a hard thing for me to understand, like, who in, like, this day and age when everybody is going to sue you, or you're going to end up online.
Exactly.
Kind of pedophile who likes to hit kids in the butt with a board. I don't know. It just seems like really, who wants to do that job? Besides the obvious, Herman Thomas, besides the obvious, who wants to do this job? I mean, you know, I'm sure he will be the first and most, the first applicant when they hire the spanker for the.
He should be disqualified.
Mobile County Public School System. He'll be him. I mean, the amount of experience he has is really going to be nobody's going to be able to compete.
Unmatched. It's unmatched.
He's a veteran of the game.
It is
sure.
Unmatched.
It's documented.
Looking for a gig, I think he's going to find one.
Yeah. Well, and I guess if they do, and this is a survey, I guess, going out to parents, but if they do end up doing this, that it would have to be on film, and there would have to be a witness. Now, Dan asked me the same question, the obvious question, you know, how would I feel about either of my girls getting paddled, and I said, first off, they'd have to be much older. But I basically had two conditions, and I'm leaning more towards your stance on this, Rob. But my two conditions would be, what did they do? It would have to be, you know, above and beyond pretty much anything, but in lieu of them being suspended or expelled. And then the second thing would be, I would have to know that principal or whoever's doing the paddling like they're my best friend, and know that their intentions were completely true. Yeah. But I don't think that's even possible in this day and age, really, with schools, to have that kind of relationship.
I know that the argument's going to be exactly what people are going to say. Well, it's easy for y'all to say that. The problem is the people who don't have parents at home, the kids who don't have parents at home taking care of them, and I get that. But by the same token, I think if they talk about sending out a survey to the parents and asking if they agree with it, if they said, if you agree with it, your kid has to be open to being spanked in group, I bet the number is going to go significantly down. Is it okay to whip all the other kids? Yeah, sure. I don't, it just doesn't seem to me like it's headed in the right direction. I personally don't think this is going to pass. I think it opens the school up to too much liability and too much trouble, potentially. But, you know, it's one of those things that sounds good and it's, fun for politicians to talk about.
Yeah.
But I don't think that it makes a whole lot of sense. I mean, it's just, who's going to want their kid? I mean, it's like you said, you get into a whole bunch of caveats saying, well, you know, it's okay if so-and-so who I know does it, but I just don't think I'd want some random person doing it. And I doubt very many of the teachers or people who work for the school system would want to be the ones dealing with that.
Is the behavior in schools worse than we even know, since that's not, when's the last time you were in a school for a day? I mean, how bad is behavior in public schools right now?
I'm sure it's terrible, but, it's like the school board member Johnny Hatcher said, he said, if they don't want to do it, then if they don't want to sign up for it, then, we'll just throw their kid out for 3 weeks or whatever, and they can take care of them. So, well, then just do that. If that's on the table, then just do that. If that is, either or, then just throw them out. I mean, if you're having that much of a problem with somebody who has that much discipline issue. Mm-hmm. I know you and I both grew up at the time when people were, when corporal punishment was normal. Certainly it was when I was in elementary school and even middle school. It was always the same kid who got paddled every day. That kid was getting paddled constantly.
Yeah.
Billy Seal, I remember Billy Seal got paddled every day. And girls didn't get paddled, never really very much. And that's the thing. It all gets into a bunch of, nowadays, how's it being spread? Is it spread racially? Is it not equitable? Is that kind of stuff? You just get into a whole bunch of areas that I don't think really many people want to get into.
No.
Yeah, I agree.
The lawsuits, everything like that. And, even in school, they were doing paddling in my school. I went to Clark Prep up in Grove Hill.
Oh, yeah, okay.
The difference is, though, I graduated with 17. Everybody knew everybody, not just at that school, but in that town. So my parents personally knew the principal, just like everyone else did. And it was basically a known thing. You screw up, Mr. C is going to put that paddle to your backside. And it's just, when you're talking about schools with thousands of kids there, I don't see how this would be a good move overall. But another story that's kind of similar to that, Kyle Hamrick continues the reporting on this daycare in Daphne, right? This Big Blue Marble Academy. And it started with, I think, 16 parents.
16 parents
in the lawsuit.
I think they're 44 now.
It keeps growing. And this is all they're saying, that there was abuse that happened here.
Yeah, I mean, it gets into, it is. That's where you end up with this kind of stuff, I think. And it just is, it is a different time. People have a different attitude about those types of things than they used to. I know that there are people who grew up in the era of corporal punishment and think, well, I turned out fine and it was okay and it works. But this is a different day and age, man. I mean, people are not going to, it's not going to be a thing like, thank you, principal, for whooping my kid. That's not going to happen. That's not going to be the reaction. And, it's going to be a bunch of people saying, my kid didn't deserve to do this, and you did it because X, Y, Z, that these external factors that don't have anything to do with their behavior, and it's just going to be a nightmare. I just find it hard to believe it'll happen. Brady Petrie, who wrote the story for us this week, he actually contacted one of the school systems in the state that still does it and talked to them a little bit about it. And there's some interesting, conversation there about it. But one of the things that person he spoke with pointed out is that it seemed to be more prevalent and more accepted in smaller communities, like you were talking about, where people, maybe they know the principal more, they have more access, maybe it's something where they can talk to somebody. I don't know if you've ever tried to talk to anybody in the Mobile County public school system, but it's basically just like walking up to a wall and talking. It's very difficult to get much conversation going. So if you had questions about your child's discipline, it might be very hard to get any kind of feedback in a larger school system.
Yeah, just ironic that on one side of the bay they're saying, don't touch my kid,
Yeah, sure.
You know, that lawsuit with the parents, it looks like, you know, some of the allegations against daycare.
And that goes above and beyond punishment. Those allegations there. And then you have this on this side. On a bit of a lighter note, Rob.
Please.
I listened to the podcast that you guys did this week, and you had the same conversation we kind of did earlier in the week, and that was about the new electric garbage truck for Mobile. I did love some of the names you guys came up with, and you know, everybody in Mobile is trying their hand at coming up with the name for this thing, just like the city asked them to. I came up with a few. Dan didn't think they were particularly funny. I was watching his face as I read them. Thomas the Stank Engine.
Doesn't have
an engine, really. Oscar the Environmentally Conscious Grouch. It was one I went
That's a mouthful.
It is. Know. And then Silent but Deadly. That was the other one.
Yeah. I just think the obvious one is Stinky. But, you know, why not Stinky? I do think Electric Garbage Truck is a great funk band name that is missing the band. And I mean, you know, if you're like, you know, Stevie Wonder and Electric Garbage Truck, I mean,
I'm going to that show.
I mean, that's a show you want to see, you know, and that's what we were talking about. You know, we think that what they need to do with this truck is, you know, put some lights on the outside of it, give it a killer sound system, you know, have it hop. I mean, I want those front tires off the wheel. I want garbage spilling out of the back of it as it goes through the parade.
Yeah.
I think this is the way to go.
That's the question. I mean, and you said it there. Will the electric garbage truck be in a Mardi Gras parade next year?
It has to be. It has to be. If it's got a name, and you know, I think you put the best of the best. You put the Top Gun of garbage men on that truck.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
As Kyle said, what was it? Lice Man and Maggot. That would be their call names, you know.
Yeah, kind of top gun there. Top gun, top garbage.
There are many possibilities for this truck. Yeah. I see a lot. I think that it is really generating, no pun intended, a lot of interest. And I think it's going to be fun for the whole city.
If crime goes down and the city overall just suddenly has a pep in their step, the citizens have banded together and crime is down and everyone's just in a better mood, inflation starts to wane, and we all say hooray, the garbage truck did it. The electric garbage truck could do those things.
It's certainly a catalyst. It's certainly a catalyst for all of us having a better life with this electric garbage truck.
That's what I said.
Yeah, it could unite the community.
Yeah.
I think all the trucks really should get names now. It's not fair to leave the other trucks out, and you know they all ought to have their names stenciled on the side of it.
Yeah, well, Mobile mail trucks could be called, hey, did you steal my check truck?
There's a lot of that, you know, but I mean, I think there's, you know, the other garbage, the other sanitation engineers in town probably would feel left out. I think that it's important that everybody feels good. And if we're going to name one truck, name them all.
Got it.
Yeah, that's the rule. Rob, if folks want to listen to the Lagnapod or get those stories online, how do they subscribe and also pick up the paper on stands?
Yeah, the Lagnapod this week might be borderline insane. But anyway, you can go online at lagnapmobile.com. You can sign up. It's $1 for the first month, and it's $6.50 a month after that. I mean, that's not even a glass of wine, folks. And it gets you all the news, everything we're covering. We're putting stuff out every single day. So basically, we're like an online daily newspaper. So just sign up there and join us and help keep Mobile funky and help us keep doing investigative reporting.
Thanks a lot, Rob. Appreciate you this week, and we'll talk again on Thursday of next week.
All right, guys. Have a great one.
It's like a threat, isn't it?
Rob Holbert with Lagnap. And coming back, we'll wrap up Mobile Mornings right here on FM Talk 106.5. @8:54, FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings on a Thursday. And hot weather won't be around for too much longer. Supposed to get a good cool down on Monday night, just in time for Halloween on Tuesday. This segment brought to you by 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Trey Bennett and his crew continue to do fantastic work on both sides of the bay, and they have 235 star Google reviews. If you just Google 1-800-GOT-JUNK Mobile and they're all five star. How about this one from David? My first experience with this company and fully exceeded my expectations. Andrew and Trey were very professional and courteous with adhering to the on-time arrival quality estimate and wanting to take care of all the debris I needed to have gone. And yeah, whether it's debris or an item that is large that you no longer use, or maybe you've just been piling things up in a certain room in your house or in the yard, call 1-800-GOT-JUNK and have them come over and make that junk disappear. They'll be in and out in no time, and you can get on with your day. So whether it's at your place of business or your house, they'll come out and take care of it. Free on-site estimates with all-inclusive pricing and no hidden fees. And very often you can get same-day service. They'll call when they're on the way. So check them out today. The number is 1-800-GOT-JUNK, but you can also set up an appointment online the same way at 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com.
Gardner says maybe the answer for controlling student discipline in the school, separate the unruly child and hold the parent and guardian responsible. There is a separation. There's an alternative school. Is that what they call it?
I think so, yeah. So
for kids who just can't behave in the regular classroom, I think that they're taken out and sent there.
What
is that? Y'all let me know if that's true or not. I don't have any personal experience with the alternative school, if that's even what it's called.
Sure you don't. I'm sure you were there in Jersey.
No.
What's the red line? If there is, when are they like, all right, you're out, pal or gal?
Yeah.
You're gone. You're going to this other school, so we don't have to deal with you anymore. I wonder what it would take for that to happen.
Young lady who's a very nice young lady now, and years ago, she said her senior year, she had to do it at another school like that. I don't know if it had to do with grades or I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, she seemed like a normal kid, but she was separated from her classmates.
And do they do weekend detention anymore? You know, breakfast club style? They bring the kids in to have to sit there quiet for like 4 hours. I don't know. They still did that in my school. I know that.
Yeah, I had to spend a little time in the library like that too.
Jerry asked Dalton, I guess he knows I'm the gambling guy. Dalton, what's the over-under that Vegas would give on the number of attacks on U.S. troops before we do anything about it? I don't know because, you know, Biden, he's been less explicit about it than John Kirby has or Anthony Blinken. He just keeps saying, don't. But also, for all the different appearances the president made last week in the Middle East and then when he returned yesterday, he kind of sounded like he was losing it again. He was stuttering a lot. And then there was this part where I guess he was talking about the great things that his administration's done in the Middle East. And he's talking about a railroad that he helped build.
Well, he's not.
But it wasn't a railroad. Listen to this.
We were able to act on a proposal I had to build a railroad all the way from Riyadh, all the way through the Middle East, Saudi Arabia, Israel, up through Greece, and then across pipeline across the Mediterranean up into Europe.
So he's talking about a pipeline. He was calling it a railroad.
For 15 minutes into that statement, it was a railroad.
Yeah.
And then He jukes like a great running back.
So
suddenly now it's a pipeline.
So is he calling the shots? I mean, does anyone think that Biden's calling the shots? Is he giving final approval on what the United States military does or doesn't do? And would that be a good thing if he was? I mean, you see some of these appearances he makes, and he really does seem like he's having some issues. It seemed like a totally different Biden last week when he was in Israel. He seemed a lot more with it, for sure.
Yeah, that's something that he kind of stepped it up a little bit, but that clip right there is more of the Biden that we have known for
some time.
2.5 years.
Yeah.
Years.
Coming up on the Jeff Poor Show, you have State Auditor Andrew Sorrell joining him in hour number one. I'm really looking forward to hearing from his guest in hour two. That would be Senator Tommy Tuberville coming on just after 10:30 on the Jeff Poor Show. And in hour number three, a weekly guest here, Baldwin County GOP Chairman Patrick McWilliams.
8:58 on FM Talk 106.5. Thank you for being part of our show. And again, we do turn up your voice in the 8 o'clock hour. But most of you just joining us on the text line, that's fine. 251-343-0106. Always commit that to memory so you can get your thoughts to us. Again, Jeff Poor is next, and we are back in about 21 hours at 6 a.m. tomorrow.